Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very stormy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from hot and sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 25th, 2011, episode 191, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
First of all, Glenn and Jennifer, I have to ask you, are you guys there? Are you okay? What is happening? I've heard that there are major thunder and lightning storms going on in Lexington, Kentucky right now. Give me the report. Look out the window.
Well, we're at the window right now. It is not pouring down rain, but it has been for the last 2 hours. And we had probably one of the loudest thunderstorms we've had in a while here. Lightning hitting pretty much across the street. And our poor doggy is petrified of loud sounds. So she's been a mess all morning. So it's been an interesting morning here, and last night there were thunderstorms all around.
Well, there's bad news at one of the barns in Lexington, actually. Three Chimneys, which houses Big Brown, Point Given, Sky Mesa, War Chant, all those horses. There's been a barn fire at Three Chimneys because of lightning. So that just goes to show you how bad it is. The entire barn was destroyed, but the good news, there's no horses or humans actually in the barn when it went out. But there's apparently reports all over Lexington of downed trees, power outages, as this huge storm came in. I don't know if it came in, did it come in last night, and it's just like still crushing everything?
Well, I think there was the one that they're talking about. Well, wait, I didn't even know about this. The one that they're talking about was in last night, but there's these little storms that are just keep developing right over Lexington. So we've had an evening where I didn't realize that Three Chimneys got hit.
Well, that's what I do. I bring you the up-to-date news going on in your city.
Well, thank you for that, Jamie. We appreciate that. Keep us informed. Let us know. Let us know when lightning's about to strike here at the house, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you to take cover. I'll just yell that out. Poor dog of yours, my gosh, she comes in, moves it. She is in the worst place to be afraid of storms. I remember when I lived there. I mean, it'll just thunder. It's like Florida. It'll just rain and thunder and lightning in the middle of the day, then it goes away, and the rest of the day's fine.
Well, I have to tell you, she was so upset this morning. She finally laid down on the bed in my office. She has more beds in this house than I do. And she finally laid down on her big squishy bed in the office, and Jennifer came in and covered her with one of the big saddle pad, and she just stayed like that. And she's laying right beside me now, covered in a saddle pad with her little nose sticking out. So she's
oh my gosh, she is such
asleep.
A diva. Snap a picture of that right now, because there's nothing cooler than a person than a dog covered in a saddle pad. I mean, come on.
She does look pretty adorable.
All right.
We have more glory story to tell you later on in the show too. So let's go to Jennifer to find out what is coming up and
on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we'll do a little catching up. First, we'll hear from David Saunders, who will provide us a firsthand account of the second biggest birthday party in all of Merry Old England, that of Prince Philip. You regular listeners out there may recall that David was on the show a few weeks back telling us all about his years at the Royal Mews. Well, He was at Prince Philip's, that's the Queen of England's husband, birthday party, and we're going to find out exactly what do you get a prince for his birthday, and are you allowed to put trick candles on his birthday cake? After that, royal update, Jamie's dramatic reading of Black Beauty will continue. We'll have more updates on body counts, rail travel, training techniques, and morality tales for you. And if that wasn't enough, we've got a lot of weekend activity to cover. Looks like the entire Horses in the Morning Show family was up to no good, so stay tuned.
All
were
right.
You guys up to no good?
I think she was directing that at you. I think she was directing that at you, actually. I have two Daily Winnies today. My first one goes out to everybody in Norway. We do have, you know, as regular listeners know, we have listeners now to our shows in 42 countries, and Horses in the Morning has listeners in many, many countries, and we hear from a lot of them. And I did look, and we do have listeners in Norway, so I wanted to send our best to everybody in Norway who, you know, after the tragedies they had over the weekend, you know, so our hearts go out to you, our prayers and our thoughts to all of the families who lost kids, actually, in that shooting. So our best to everybody in Norway. The second one is a happy birthday. Happy birthday to Chris Stafford, who obviously is the host of many of our shows here on the Horse Radio Network, and it's her birthday today. She actually had a birthday party on Saturday night, so we went over to that, and it was a good time. And so, happy birthday, Chris.
My turn. To follow up, yes, happy birthday, Chris. I know it was a big one for her, but my Daily Winnie, I'm going to bring it a little closer to home, you know what I'm saying? My Daily Winnie goes out to my husband. Because, you guys, I've got some exciting news. Are you ready for some exciting news?
He's pregnant.
You're pregnant.
No, I thought he was.
Why would you say something like that? Why would you think that?
newly married, exciting news. Except I'm not too sure that would be exciting for you. So that. True.
Holy cow, not riding for a while? Forget it. So
you got another dog?
Lord, no. I don't need another dog. One's costing me an arm and a leg as it is. Just stop guessing. I'm just going to tell you. Flyover Farm, which is our farm, which is what we call it, will be actually relocating here shortly. I don't know how shortly, but we are we're shopping for a new house. I don't know if, you know, I've never really told the details. Yeah, right? Wouldn't that be nice? We're moving to Kentucky.
No.
No. It'll actually be just, we kind of want to stay in this neighborhood, actually. The farm that we're at right now, we rent. And the owners of the farm really want to sell it. And it's just probably not the perfect fit for us. So we just decided to start looking around. They're being great. They're not, like, kicking us out or anything, but they really want to sell it, and we respect that. And so we've decided to start looking around. And we found a farm about a mile and a half down the road in the same neighborhood that we really like. So we are getting a realtor, and we are working on all of that. And so just want to let you know that some changes might be coming to the farm here in Phoenix, and we will be upgrading. We will be upgrading land and home. So
there'll be room for the chickens. Still room for the chickens? You can't leave the chickens behind.
Actually, the one farm that we're looking at that we really like, the lady's like, I'll leave you my chickens. And she's like 16.
Well, you were a little short on chickens after the last episode, so.
I know. I'm like, sold. We'll take it. Chad's like, we're not buying it because they give you chickens. I'm like, but then she knew where to go. She knew where to go with my heartstrings to sell it to me. Anyway, so hopefully, Glenn, this next home, I will not, my fancy Horse Radio Network studio may not be in my kitchen right next to the stove where my husband cooks breakfast every morning and does the dishes. because that's all kind of in a row here.
You have a separate room for your studio?
I'm thinking that I might actually have a real studio in the next home. Believe it or not, we'll actually step up a little bit and give me a real fancy studio. Wouldn't
that
be cool?
I can't tell you. You know, yeah, that is cool. And I can't tell you how many people, like when we were at the party the other night, how many people are totally surprised that we do these shows and we don't see each other. You know, I never see any of my co-hosts. And we do these shows, and they're always just amazed that, you know, you're in Arizona and we're here and our guests are, you know, in England. You know, they're just amazed by that.
Technology is way, way cool.
Yes,
it's just awesome. So I'm really, I'm excited about the potential of this. I'm excited about relocating and upgrading a little bit. And I have to tell you, my husband, the reason I gave him the Winnie is he's so on board. He's like, if we get a bigger place, we can have more horses. I'm like, what?
What's wrong with him? Get him
Who
on the
are
phone.
You? I know, right? He's so cool. He's so great. So I think he's more thinking borders, not our own horses. But he is the same guy who wants me to drive to Reno, Nevada and adopt a Mustang. So, this is getting exciting. So, anyway, that's my exciting news, and I will definitely keep you guys posted and up to date on everything and how it goes. But super fun, super exciting, and there you go.
Well, cool. Well, good luck with that. You know, there's always a lot of steps to go through, especially nowadays, to buy a place.
Oh, exhausting amounts of paperwork. And now, because of the economy, to really even start looking at a place seriously, you have to pass all these credit checks, and you have to get pre-approved for loans before you can even, like, you know, it used to be like, all right, I would like a contract on this house, and I'll put an offer in at this. You can't do that anymore. You actually have to get a letter from the bank with what your initial offer is, and you have to get, because we're going through all this right now, you have to get a letter from the bank telling them that you're good for it. Like,
yes.
You
need that pre-approval. They want that pre-approval now, or you're not even there. The realtors don't even want to talk to you unless you have a pre-approval now.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, my gosh, that is the cutest picture of glory I've ever seen, wrapped up in a little poly pad.
I just posted that. That's in my office, sitting right beside me. She has not moved, by the way. She's still underneath the blanket, and I posted it on Facebook for everybody. Just go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and you'll see a picture of my little greyhound all curled up, hiding from the thunderstorms. We did buy her a thunder shirt, by the way, when we were out at the – oh, let's be official about this. Glory story time. So we bought her a thunder shirt. We went Saturday. One of the things that's tradition, I'm sure it's tradition in any breed, with the rescue, the Greyhound Rescue Organizations, is they have a picnic or a festival every year. Well, the one here is really serious. Shamrock Greyhounds in Louisville is over 3 days. People stay at the hotel next door, held at the convention center. So it was inside, thank God, because it was like 110 degrees here. So we went on Saturday. We didn't go for 3 days. We thought half a day was pretty much time to spend with 200 greyhounds.
Time out, 3 days for a greyhound meet and greet kind of thing?
Yeah, 3 days. I'm not sure what they did all those days. But we went and we had a good time. I think we have spent more money on this dog now than we spent on our horse in the last year. They had beds on sale, big fluffy beds on sale. I got to say, that was cheap. You know the big ones, the big fluffy ones about 10 inches thick that you pay $100 for at PetSmart? They had a special going for 15 minutes only for $25. So we had to get one of those. And I'm going to post actually some pictures here from the event. I'm going to post them right now if I can find them. Let's see. I always get somewhat confused. Facebook changes things all the time, and then it makes it confusing. But let me go there, and we'll edit the photos, and then we'll publish them. I got some pictures here from the festival that I just posted to our Facebook page. So if you hit refresh, you'll see them. And you'll see me actually curled up with Glory at the festival on her new bed, which was really comfy. I could have slept on that. And she,
hey, my friend, you might be someday. So.
And we had to get, of course, when you get a Greyhound, you need fancy collars. You have to get these fancy, you know, colorful collars that are specially made for Greyhounds. And then we couldn't decide which collar, so we ended up buying three collars for $60.
What?
Yes, we got three collars because I wanted green, and then she wanted red, or she wanted blue. So we ended up with yellow, red, and a Christmas one. We got a Christmas collar. It was really cute.
Okay, hold on. Jennifer, I would like for you to pay attention right now. So far, your husband has purchased dog beds, three collars, all sorts of these special bones for her to chew, these special, you know, shirts for her to wear. I would like you to start writing all of this down, because when Beaker, your horse, needs anything, you have ammo. You will say, you bought your dog a shirt. Yes, I'm buying my horse a new saddle. Like, I mean, you just need to have all of this listed as ammo, because it is really not fair that he's been giving you such a hard time about shop. I've been with you guys when we've been shopping. I've been there, and I've seen, what do you need? You don't need anything. What do you mean you need a jersey, a bridle? You don't need another bridle. I've been party to this conversation, Jennifer, and I would like for you to write this all down, or I will. And we'll keep tabs on exactly what you want, and you will get it when you want it, okay?
Ada will be payback time this year.
Yeah,
that's
you two together, which really scares me.
Yeah,
that's really scary. You two alone in a place that has lots of stuff to buy is very scary. Anyway, back to the story. Yeah. So there were 200 Greyhounds there, and no barking at all whatsoever in the 5 hours we were there.
Are you serious?
No, Greyhounds don't bark. So there was just no barking. And it was it's quiet, you know. It's interesting, but they were selling the Thunder shirts. And so I know a couple of our listeners did say that remember we talked about those before, supposed to help with loud noises and thunderstorms and stuff. And you actually just, it's this shirt you put on your dog and it's supposed to work. And a couple of our listeners said they really do work. So we bought one but unfortunately they didn't have our size, so we had to have it shipped. So we didn't have it for this morning when we really could have used it. But we'll let you know how that works on Glory next time we have a thunderstorm after this undershirt comes. But when we bought, of course, we had to buy some other stuff. You know,
I got to know what else you got because I'm writing this stuff down.
Yeah, just little stuff. Just little things. They're expensive.
Did
you know,
you
like I needed the bumper sticker and the thing you put on your car and all of that, too.
You got to get all that stuff, that swag to show everybody you own a Greyhound. Do you
That's
have a
right,
bumper
exactly.
sticker? Do you have a bumper sticker on the back of your car now that says, my Greyhound is smarter than your honor student?
No, but they had it. I saw that there. I did see it. I resisted
really?
Buying that one.
Oh, how could you resist? Oh, my God. I would have had to go get one of those. And you know what? The other thing, the other must-have for me in the dog world is, and I cannot find a pair of these for the English Shepherd breed. So if you find one for English Shepherds, I need them. But the little socks that have the pictures of the breeds on them, and then they say on the top, you know, the breed name. So I have like a pair of Basset Hound socks, and I have a pair of Border Collie socks, but I need English Shepherd socks. Did you get Greyhound socks?
No, but they had them there. And I'm surprised Jennifer didn't get a Greyhound sock, actually, because I bought shirts. I bought a Greyhound shirt, and I wanted her to get something, but she just didn't.
They're great for under your, Jennifer. They're great for under your boots because they're thin enough and they cover the bottom of your riding pants. So that's why I use the excuse I have to have them because I need this size sock so I can ride properly.
That's right. Yeah, it will help your equitation.
Exactly. Well, that's cool, you guys. I'm glad you did some shopping and you had a great weekend. And I'm still mad you didn't get the bumper sticker. My Greyhound is smarter than your honor student. I love that.
Hey, I want to invite callers too. You know, we don't have a guest today. We're going to play an excerpt from one of our other shows, and we want you to call. We'd love that. We haven't talked to callers in a while, so unless you want to hear Jamie and I just prattling on for the next hour and a half, give us a call at 859. No, that's not right. 347.
That's your cell phone.
Yeah. 347-637-3238. Let's try that again. 347-637-3238. Tell us what you did over the weekend. Just talk to us. We don't care. We know there's a lot of listeners out there that have written to us and have said, you know, I've been wanting to call in, but you always seem so busy. Well, we're not busy now, so you have no excuse. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
I like it. I like it. Oh, my gosh, these pictures are great. Look at your Jennifer with glory. Hey, speaking of dogs, I told you guys, remember the dramatic story of Zenyatta's face swelling up an hour before my cross-country ride when I was competing?
Yes, followed up by the next weekend of $1,000 of vet bills when her face swelled up again.
That was like 4 days later, actually. That was when I looked at Zenyatta started throwing up, couldn't walk. She was like neurologic, looked like she had EPM. She was falling over, that whole thing. And I rushed her to the emergency vet clinic, and it was $500. Remember that whole story? I do, because it hurts.
And I'm sure your husband does.
Yeah. So yesterday, I'm out there riding, and I had some students over. Thank God, one of my students is a small animal vet. You always make friends with vets, people. So I'm over here and teaching the lesson. I get down to the lesson. I look at Zenyatta, and dear God, her face is swollen again. Again.
No, not again. What is
her
face that puppy?
I don't know. So that's the thing. So fortunately, I had a lot of the medicine here because she had delivered all this stuff to me going, if it happens again, this is what you need to give her. This is this, 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 this. So she's currently on prednisone and Benadryl and all this kind of stuff to help her. But she swelled up again, even on the Benadryl. So obviously, got a little frustrated. And we are actually going to, oh, God. Apparently, she may have some autoimmune deficiency or that manifests in, like, allergic reactions. How fun does that sound?
How expensive does that sound?
Exactly. So what we're going to do is my student, who's a vet, is friends with another vet who's a dermatologist. Yes, they have veterinary dermatologists. So my little darling sweetheart Zenyatta is going to go probably this week to a dermatologist to get skin tested for allergies, just like her mama did a couple months ago. Dear God, are you killing me? I told my husband, I'm like, this is what you get for buying a dog.
I'm like, oh, now it's his fault.
Our two little rescue dogs out there are healthy as can be, and here you buy a dog and we're doing allergy skin testing. Oh, my God. So, swollen faces, skin testing, allergies, immune diseases. Who the heck knows what is going on with this dog, but I'll, again, keep you guys posted because I got nothing else to talk about.
Well, keep a running tab on that, too, because, Jennifer, that'd be a good question. What is the, is this the question of the day? You can post it on Facebook. What is the most that anybody has paid for a vet bill for their dog?
Ah, good question. Good question.
So
I'm
that
pretty
would be
sure
interesting to see.
There's going to be some big ones. Because, yeah, so horse vets are expensive. They're large animals, and they can have some very large, big things happen to them. Dogs, they're small. And about 10 times as expensive as a freaking horse. Tell me why. I don't know. Why you can run fluids on a horse for $25, you know, $30 is the cost. And then, you know, you can run fluids on a dog and it's $400. I'm mad at small animal vets right now.
That's let's find out. And if you want to call us about it, that's a cute picture. And if you want to call us about it, give us a call at 347-637-328. Tell us about your dog experiences. I know we're a horse show, but we all have dogs. So, you know, horse people have dogs. That's just the way it is. We can't help it. That's dogs and we have cats.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Yes, you're right, Jennifer. I just sent Jennifer a picture of where Zenyatta is right now. And that is, just like you have glory in the room with you, that is, the Zenyatta is just to the left of me, my left foot.
Sound
and that's it. Oh, yeah, knocked out. She's on Benadryl. Chad actually did say, he's like, I do like her a little bit better on Benadryl.
You know, I got to tell you that her, she's at that age. She's sort of at coming into that teenage age where none of the body parts match. Her legs don't match her body or her head. You know, they're all kind of gangly looking.
You should see her tail if she's figuring out. Her tail is as long as her body. I have, when I go to put her in the car, I have to pick her up and wait for her to turn around and sit down, because if not, I'll close the door on her tail. So long. She'll be like sitting there, okay. I'm like, no, you have to turn around and tuck that sucker up underneath you, because you're going to get it cut off.
I like Jennifer's question. She put, what's your biggest doggy vet bill, and was it followed by either divorce or someone sleeping on the couch for a long time?
Or did you lie about it? Like, maybe I did.
Not you. You don't lie about that stuff. Not at all.
No, I would never do something like that. But we were going through, because of this house buying thing, we were online and we were like trying to figure out what checks had been cashed and what had gone through, because we have to make some equity payment or some sort of payment that says we're interested on the house and it may not get cashed. And he was looking through. I was like, well, let me see. I can write the check. And so I was looking down through the thing and he's like, what is that one? I was like,
oh no.
That's
my lemon better.
I'm like, that's that pure bed that you bought. I don't know what you're talking about. I told you it was that much, huh? I can't hear you. You're breaking up. I'm standing right next to you. I got to go. I got to pee. Whatever. He's trying to get it. Just get out of there. Just get out of there as quick as you can.
So you can't put him on mute like I do you when I don't like what you're talking about.
I know, because he's here. He's like right next to you. It's not like you can go, hey, look, squirrel. Squirrel.
Glenn has that problem, though. You take him into a Best Buy, it's like, oh, shiny. Yeah, he has that. All I have to do is take his phone off his hip and wave it, and it's just like a dog when you have his favorite chew toy. You just wave it, and if I throw it, he'll chase it.
Oh,
all
Aubrey
right,
Miller.
Let's
just call it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tell us the story. Aubrey just posted, Jamie, I don't know who your horse vets are, but I would love to trade. The hole in my horse's leg cost me over $650, and that was one x-ray and sticking a finger in the wound. Nice. Now, Aubrey, I was kind of exaggerating, because I certainly know that I've spent a considerable amount of money on vets. I'm just mad at dog vets right now, because they seem to charge even more than horse vets. That's what I'm saying. And their job is much safer.
I don't know. They get bit on a regular basis. I don't know if that's much safer.
You
but I guess that still beats getting kicked in the face by a hoof. That's
exactly.
All right. Why don't we do the commercial, and then we'll go into our segment for the day.
Exactly, and that is today's sponsor is brought to you, our today's show is brought to you by our sponsor, Omega Alpha, and they're awesome. Their products are awesome. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. They have dozens of products to help your horses in a number of areas, including energy, immunity, muscles, respiratory, and vitamins and minerals. So they have something for everything. If you notice something lacking with your horse, or you notice something going on behaviorally with your horse, go to OmegaAlpha.ca and just look at the products that they have. I've used three or four different ones on my horses, and I've seen great success each time. So Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. They specialize in natural formations for enhancing equine health and performance, and all their products are made by Omega Alpha using the finest natural ingredients available. Again, look for their products at retailers nationwide or go to their website, OmegaAlpha.ca.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of shows that we did last week, and I have an excerpt here from one of them that I wanted to play for everybody. And one of the shows I want to talk to you about was Stable Scoop. You know, Chris was live, called us live while driving a carriage around Mackinac Island up there in Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Well, we followed up with that by having the guy, Ted, who was the head of Jack's Livery Stable, who is responsible for her carriage ride around Mackinac Island. They have about 60 horses on the island there, and you can actually go for trail rides or carriage rides. You can rent either one, and they just send you off by yourself because it's an island. And the horses know the way home, apparently. Well, we did a segment on Stable Scoop. We did the whole show basically on Mackinac Island. We had a lady who was the tourism director for the island, who was a terrific guest, one of the best guests we've ever had. And then we had Ted, who was the head of the livery stable for ages and ages. And Ted is just what you would imagine. And while he was doing the interview, Jamie, he was sitting on the porch, and the whole time you could hear clippity-cloppity, clippity-cloppity, clippity-clop of all the horses going by, all the carriages and horses. There are 600 horses on that island, all that have a job. They're all either carriage horses, or they haul the mailman, or they do deliveries to the stores. They're all done by horse-drawn carriage because there's no motor vehicles allowed. So if you get a chance, we've gotten a couple of comments this weekend of people listening to that show and just loved it. So take a listen to Stable Scoop, the last one from Mackinac Island. I think you'll like that. And actually, we're trying, keep your fingers crossed, we're trying to work out for the fall in September sometime that Jennifer and I make a trip up there, and we actually come to you live from Mackinac Island. So you can hear the clippity-clop live here in the morning. So we're trying to work that out with them now. They really want us to come up. We really want to go up and just move the Horse Radio Network there because it sounds kind of neat in the summer. Not so neat in the winter. She talks about that, too. Not so neat in the winter. And then the other show that I wanted to play an excerpt from was the second episode of the Driving Radio Show. If you've listened to the Driving Radio Show, then you've heard this excerpt, and I apologize. But for those of you who can't listen to all the shows, we had as a guest David Saunders here on episode 137 on May the 10th here on Horses in the Morning. And he was the coachman to the Queen for 20 years and actually was in charge of her carriage horses and her coaches and all that stuff. Well, we had him on the driving show, the first real one that we did, and he talked about his time at Prince Philip's 90th birthday party. He went to his 80th birthday party. He was invited, and he was also invited to his 90th birthday party. And he was going just after the interview we did here with him on Horses in the Morning. He was leaving for that. Well, we talked to him about what that was like and you know, how kind of cool is it to be invited to a royal birthday party. And he talks about that in this excerpt from the Driving Radio Show. Wendy Ying is my co-host, Dr. Ying, and you will hear her on this excerpt as well. And then Jamie and I will be back after this. But this is David Saunders talking about a royal birthday party. David, when we talked to you last, we talked all about, on the last show there at Horses in the Morning, we talked all about your years at the Royal Mews and working for royalty. Then you had something coming up that you were very excited about. Tell us what that was, because it's happened now, and you can tell us about it.
Well, I worked for the Queen ostensibly. I worked for the government, actually, for the Crown. So I worked for the Queen, but the Queen kind of lent me out to her husband, His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh. I worked for him for 20 years.
That's Prince Philip, right?
Prince Philip, yeah, His Royal Highness Prince Philip. And 10 years ago, I went to Prince Philip's 80th birthday, and this year I went to his 90th birthday, because these royals live a long time.
I was just going to say, he doesn't seem 90, he's still pretty perky.
Well, of course, you know, it's good to be a blue blood. It's good to be a king. It's good to be a prince. And because you can live a long time if you're taken well care of. No, but he's very active. And I was looking for a date for the party. And I don't know how it happened. I was talking to Gloria, and I said to Gloria, "Would you like to come?" And she said, "With you?" I said, "Yes." And with Gloria's
Now, who's Gloria?
Gloria Austin, I should say. Sorry, Gloria Austin, yes, from the she has a resort. It's called the Grand Oaks Resort now. And she has a wonderful collection of carriages, which I, luckily enough, I've known her for a long time, and I helped her buy quite a few of the carriages.
Is that the one in Ocala, Florida?
Well, it's just outside. It's actually Lady Lake, or is it Weirsdale? I can't remember. It's just outside.
I think it's Weirsdale.
That's right, yeah. Well, I helped Gloria several years ago and bought quite a few horses for her. I bought some Cladruby horses for her, some big grey Cladruby horses from Czech Republic, and I bought quite a few Frisians for her. And when she was collecting European carriages, because of my contacts here in Europe, I found quite a few European pieces for her. So I asked her if she'd be my date, and she agreed to come. And she came over for a week, and we had a great week together in England, starting off with going to Prince Philip's birthday party, which was a wonderful...
Okay.
Obviously, he had a lot of birthday
parties. That's a pretty good first date, by the way, I want to add.
Yeah, I know. And can you make sure all your other lady listeners are paying attention to this? I do good dates. So.
David, I can tell you there are many lady listeners who followed your date all the way through Facebook because Gloria had it all on her Facebook and there was a large group of us following you wishing we were her.
Well, what we did was that was kind of the start, the birthday party. And Gloria and I are very precise, and we like to organize things. So actually, the afternoon before, we reconnoitered the place. We drove over to Cowarth Park, where the party was, and we drove in there and made sure where it was, found a place where we were going to park that night, and timed how long it was going to take us to get there from the hotel. We arrived, and the first person we bumped into was young George Bowman Jr., and his date, and George Sr. couldn't make it. Well, the Bowman family are, there's probably five or six of them that are mostly four-in-hand drivers that have been driving quite a long time in England. I think a lot
and
of
wasn't
them...
George Bowman was the oldest four-in-hand driver for a while, wasn't he?
That's right. And he actually, if those of you that were at the WEG, he drove Misty Wrigley's coaching team and did the demo for the dressage before.
I saw that. Yep.
And but anyway, we met and gathered, and these were all his driving friends, his equestrian friends. So there was lots of fellow drivers there, and chit chat, and then we went down to this marquee by the polo fields, and there was a cocktail party. Prince Philip arrived in his Land Rover and starting mingling with people, which was very nice. And we watched a polo match, and we watched a driving demonstration by the coaching club, the London Coaching Club. And there was a demonstration of two of the carriages that Prince Philip used in the early days, because you have to remember, 20 odd years ago when we started this sport, everyone just used normal carriages, and of course the carriages used to fall to bits because they couldn't stand up to the strain. So
if you finished on four wheels, you won.
If you finished at all, you were probably a winner. So but in them days it was a gentleman sport for gentlemen. I'm not saying they're not gentlemen now, but there's a lot of professionals amongst it now, and there's a lot of money involved. So but in them days it was for gentlemen drivers, and it was true in America as well in the early days. People like Frolic Weymouth and people like that drove antique carriages and set off on the marathon with them. But anyway, there was a demonstration of that, and His Royal Highness made his way around the crowd and said hello to everybody and chit-chatted to everybody. And I said to Gloria, stay with me because His Royal Highness will come and talk to me. The moment he came over to me, someone had taken her away to talk to her. I think John Richards had taken her away to chat to her about something, to show her something. And Gloria came back and said, have you seen him yet? I said, oh, yes, he just came over and said hello. Oh, damn, she said, I missed him. But what was actually fascinating was we were told that Her Majesty was coming, the Queen. And, of course, when the Queen's in the house, everybody knows the Queen's there, so due reverence is given to her, and she is the Queen, obviously, so she's the most important person in the room. So being the Queen and knowing that it was his due, she actually didn't turn up for the reception. What happened is that people came round and said, would we make our way up to the marquee, and they'd put up this wonderful marquee, this tent, and so we all sat at tables of eight people, and the tables were named after driving competitions that Prince Philip had competed at, Sandringham, Lowther, cool, different places like that. And unlike in America where you kind of, it's like a bun fight. Everyone kind of sits where they want to sit. There was you were given places to sit. There was cards, and you had to sit in certain places. Well, there was no head table, so I thought, I wonder how this is going to work. So we all came in and kind of stood there waiting, and then it got very quiet, and in came His Royal Highness and the Queen. The Queen sat at one table, the Royal Windsor Horse Show, and Prince Philip sat at the Sandringham table, which is another competition, and it's another place that the Queen owns, Sandringham House. And we had a wonderful dinner and chit-chat, and then the speeches and the thank yous, and we'd had a collection for a present, and they presented him with a cigar box, a silver cigar box that was made in 1941, which I think was the year of his birth. So
I was going to say, what do you get the prince for a gift? You know.
Well, yes, that is kind of the problem. But you know, the present was really not. We had to get him something, but I think the present really was all his colleagues and former colleagues and former driving friends were all there, and he got to kind of have dinner with them. And but it was fascinating because the Queen was just there. I mean, obviously, the first thing was, and as you may or may not know, in England, the first thing we do is stand up, and the first toast is to the Queen. And so we toasted the Queen, and we toasted Prince Philip. And
do they still say "Long live the Queen"? By the way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh. Because having worked for the Queen for 20 years, there's an interesting clause in our contract. It's called the demise of the monarch. And the demise of the monarch is when the king or the queen dies and everybody loses their job.
Is that right?
Just automatically fired.
Everybody loses their job. I mean, most people nowadays, everyone is, it's reinstated again, but you have to remember, it's like with presidents in America. You don't want the staff of the last president in.
Right.
You want to bring your own staff
that's
in.
True, yeah.
And that's kind of how it works. But so saying "Long live the king" is a pretty good way of keeping your job, you know?
I never noticed the selfish part of that before.
Oh, yes. You know, the British are nothing if
they're
not.
That puts a whole new spin on it.
That's right, absolutely.
That's funny. I never knew that. So you had a good time at the party.
Oh yes, yes, it was beautiful, beautiful dinner.
And if you want to listen to the rest of that interview, you can go to drivingradioshow.com or horseradionetwork.com, episode 2. Well, we actually did that in 2 parts because we had so much fun talking to him. So the second part of that interview will be in this week's episode, which will come out tomorrow. So did you know that about the, that's why they say, why everybody's so adamant about saying "Long live the Queen"?
No, I had no idea. I thought it was just, you know, a toast in her honor, but it's like, hey, to job security.
Please don't die.
He still didn't tell us what he got the prince, though.
Well, they all went together to buy him the cigar box is what happened.
Okay.
So everybody went together to buy this silver cigar box. I don't even know if the prince smoked cigars, but I guess so. So that's what they got him in. Apparently, it's kind of tough to buy for the guy who really does have everything he wants.
I was thinking of the gift that you got Chris for her birthday over the weekend, and you said you got a neon on-air radio light. And I was thinking, would you get the prince like a neon, if you got him a neon sign that said, "I'm the prince," or Budweiser or something like that, where would he hang that? Does the prince have like his own man cave?
I don't know. I assume he has several of them, depending which castle they're at the particular time, you would think.
Yeah, it's like you walk down into the prince's man cave, and it's like, you know, PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, neon lights on the side. There's like a pool table and a pinball game and just like, you know, dartboard. It's like, gets a little shaker. He's like, "Can I get you guys a drink?" That's what I think of when I listen to interviews like that. I'm sorry, I just couldn't help it.
David's a cool guy. Really like him.
Oh, that guy's
he's
awesome.
A lot of fun.
What
he talked about, he was in Belgium, and he was driving a unique horse that was only found in that certain part of France. And he talked about his time in Belgium and these horses that he's driving and the things that he's doing over there. Just some fascinating stuff. Talk about a guy who's just living life at this point. Obviously looking for a woman, though, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
All right, we got a couple comments here. We have the comments coming in from people, and I think Aaron Gilmore has the record so far. My dog has a $6,000 leg. A spiral fracture of the upper femur required 4 hours of surgery and a permanent steel plate. But she's worth it. Aaron, she damn well better be. $6,000.
Oh, my gosh. $6,000. How does a dog... That'd be interesting to know. Was it hit by a car? A spiral fracture of the upper femur? Wow.
Aaron, if you're listening, she listens, I know. So if you're listening, Aaron, give us a call, 347-637-3238. The other thing I want to know, Aaron, is was this in Wellington, Florida? That could explain why it was so expensive. Because that's where she lives.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. But, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, a leg fracture on a human would probably be 10 times that. So, and with the horse, they'd just shoot it. So, I don't know. Cynthia Eliason wrote $1,200 was her vet bill. And you know, the question that Jennifer posed was, what is your biggest doggy vet bill? And was it followed by either divorce or someone sleeping on the couch? Well, Cynthia writes, $1,200 and no, my dog, my money. Seems to be the most marital difficulties could be prevented by getting rid of joint ownership of bank accounts and other belongings. Wow.
Divorce does that. Divorce does that quite well, Cynthia.
Yeah, it separates things 50-50 right down the middle, or 80-20, or whatever.
That's funny. Well,
and
are
then
you
Denise,
ready? Hold on.
Denise, yeah. $1,500 plus the $600 I got sued for after a local vet nearly killed my dog and had to rush to the vet school. So I read that. And I wrote to Denise and I said, how did you get sued after, you know, you took your dog to the vet and then you got sued? And she wrote back, it's because I refused to pay his bill because it was verified by the vet school that she was overdosed on meds. He took me to small claims court and the court ruled in his favor, even with all my affidavits. Wow. That's another one I'm not going to touch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They overdosed your dog and then you had to pay... Oh, man, that stinks. Okay, that stinks. Forget it. Let's move on. It's time for what now?
I don't know. Do you want to do Black Beauty?
Oh, yay. I forgot about that. Let's do it.
Did you ever find the book?
I did. We cleaned up the truck this weekend.
I guess I didn't hide it very well, did I?
No.
Do you have the chapter open? You're ready to go?
Yes. Now, if you recall, last week we finished off with the very long chapter. We had to turn it into a two-part series called Cockneys, and that was the driving. And then if you realize at the end, you remember Black Beauty was sold at the end of this next one. Okay, that's where we pick up.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 30, A Thief. My new master was an unmarried man. He lived in Bath and was much engaged in business. His doctor advised him to take horse exercise, and for this purpose he bought me. He hired a stable a short distance from his lodgings and engaged a man named Filcher as groom. My master knew very little about horses, but he treated me well, and I should have had a good and easy place, but for circumstances of which he was ignorant. He ordered the best hay, with plenty of oats, crushed beans, and bran, with vetches and ryegrass, as the man might think needful. I heard the master give the order, so I know there was plenty of good food, and I thought I was well off. For a few days, all went on well. I found that my groom understood his business. He kept the stable clean and airy. He groomed me thoroughly and was never otherwise than gentle. He had been an ostler in one of the great hotels in Bath, but he had given that up and now cultivated fruits and vegetables for the market, and his wife bred and fattened poultry and rabbits for sale. After a while, it seemed to me that my oats came very short. I had the beans, but the bran was mixed to them instead of oats, of which there were very few, certainly not more than a quarter of what there should have been. In 2 or 3 weeks, this began to tell on my strength and my spirit. The grass food, however very good, was not the thing to keep up my condition without corn. However, I could not complain nor make known my wants, so it went on for about 2 months, and wondered my master did not see that something was the matter. However, one afternoon he rode out into the country to see a friend of his, a gentleman farmer who lived on the road to Wells. This gentleman had a very quick eye for horses, and after he had welcomed his friend, he said, casting his eye over me, "It seems to me, Barry, that your horse does not look so well as he did when you first had him. Has he been well?" "Yes, I believe so," said my master, "but he is not nearly so lively as he was. My groom tells me that horses are always dull and weak in the autumn, and that I must expect it." "Autumn? Fiddlesticks," said the farmer. "Why, this is only August, and with your light work and good food, he ought not to get down like this, even if it was autumn. How do you feed him?" My master told him. The other shook his head slowly and began to feel me over. "I can't say who eats your corn, my dear fellow, but I am much mistaken if your horse gets it. Have you ridden very fast?" "No, very gently." "Then put your hand here," he said, passing his hand over my neck and shoulders. "He is as warm and damp as a horse has just come up from grass. I advise you to look into your stable a little bit more. I hate to be suspicious, and thank heaven I have no cause to be, for I can trust my men, present or absent, but there are mean scoundrels, wicked enough to rob a dumb beast his food, and you must look into them." And turning to this man who had come to take me, "Give this horse a right good feed of bruised oats, and don't stint him." "Dumb beast, yes we are, but if I could have spoken, I could have told my master where his oats went. My groom used to come every morning about 6 o'clock, and with him a little boy, who always had a covered basket with him. He used to go with his father into the harness room where the corn was kept, and I could see them when the door still stood ajar, filling a little bag with oats out of the bin, and then he used to be off. 5 or 6 mornings after this, just as the boy had left the stable, the door was pushed open and a policeman walked in, holding the child tight by the arm. Another policeman followed and locked the door on the inside, saying, 'Show me the place where your father keeps his rabbit's food.' The boy looked very frightened and began to cry, but there was no escape, and he led the way to the corn bin. Here the policeman found another empty bag like this, which was found full of oats in the boy's basket. Filcher was cleaning my feet at the time, and they soon saw him, and though he blustered a good deal, they walked him off to the lockup with his boy with him. I heard afterwards that the boy was not to be held guilty, but the man was sentenced to prison for 2 months. And tomorrow, Chapter 31, A Humbug. Thank you. Thank you.
You know what I got out of that?
What?
A word that you don't hear anymore, fiddlesticks. When's the last time you heard that word?
1877, which is when this book was written. you have to recall that these were actually words back then.
Fiddlesticks. It's just been a long time since I heard that word. I know there's probably other meanings to that whole chapter thing, but I got stuck on fiddlesticks.
No, I think it just means to tell you that, that unfortunately there's not always honest people in the world when you're boarding a horse. So there you go. I also would like to say that tomorrow you're going to find a little bit more of crookedness. So, there's always a lesson in Black Beauty. And I also would like to say that if you go to Horse Junkies United blog, it's Horse Junkies United blog, horsejunkiesunited.com, and it's a blog written by a bunch of women, different women, that, kind of individually write blogs. However, there is a woman in there who has sold her horse. And she's very sad about it. And I read this blog today about selling her horse. The title of the blog is called "How Do You Sell Your Best Friend?" And it's this very heartwarming story about how she found a really good home for him, and she got a new horse, and she wasn't paying attention to this horse enough, and she really thought that he could do better. And at the end of the whole blog, she's like, listen, I read Black Beauty, and I understand how important it is to find him that forever home. I was like, yes, that is how it is done, my friends. That's how you would never sell a horse to just anybody if you read Black Beauty. And that is the point I'm going to get to.
All right. Hey, Erin is on the phone. Remember we talked about her $6,000 dog leg? Well, let's find out exactly how a $6,000 dog leg came about. Hi, Erin. You must have been listening this morning. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah. Hi, Glenn. Yep, I was listening. I had to chime in. My little dog, we were not in Wellington, okay? So that's okay. Not because we were in Wellington. She was in California, and she's a Jack Russell. And she was.
Oh my God! You're talking a $6,000 Jack Russell leg?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The best square inch.
That's like $2,000 a square inch.
That's right. Well, she's the best Jack Russell that has ever lived. First of all, so.
She better be.
And she is essentially now, but she was playing tug of war after her bath, and she just jumped up and she landed wrong, and that was that. And so we took her to the vet hospital, and weren't going to cut off her leg. And that, 2 days later, she came home looking miserable with the cast. And yeah, spiral fracture. How does that happen on a dog?
Wait, did she just jumped wrong?
Yeah,
what?
She did what now? What did she do?
She just was playing tug of war, jumping up and down like Jack Russell's do. She just jumped up and she landed wrong. And when she jumped up, she jumped down, and something cracked.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Calcium supplements, my friend. Calcium supplements. Everybody should take them.
Well, she will not play tug of war anymore. It just happened in December.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm glad she's okay, and you're a really good mommy. Good job taking care of that puppy.
I was just going to say, that leads to another question. How many people could afford could afford to even do it? That's a lot.
I don't know. It was one of those things where we weren't sure how much it would be until after the fact, and then it was just like, well, we're going to be paying that bill for a while.
I was just going to say, you're on the $10 a month payment plan?
Yeah, that's right.
Glenn, I keep reminding you that it's not money if you use a credit card. That's what credit cards are for.
Exactly. I'm glad I'm not the only one who feels that way.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're for.
That's how you two are horsewomen. God. So now, it's a little plate. This had to be a little plate because it's a little leg.
It is. It's a little leg and a little plate.
Was it made out of gold? Did they put gold plate in there?
I hope so. She hasn't got off any metal detectors yet. She has a little scar on the inside of her leg now, but she doesn't limp. She runs. She went swimming yesterday at the beach, and she's as good as new. So.
You are such a good mommy, Erin.
She's a really cool dog. If you ever meet her, you'll totally agree with me.
Hey, we got to get you on too. Speaking of which, Jennifer, have Jennifer get a hold of you this week and get you on next week because we're due for an update.
That's right. You are. Well, hopefully I'll be back next week then.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for calling and letting us know about the $6,000 2-inch leg.
You're welcome. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
That really is about $2,000 an inch. I mean, it's a Jack Russell.
I was not expecting that. That is for sure.
That's like a Great Dane.
Well.
Anyway, let's go to Shay from Wisconsin. And I think this might be is this Shay, the musician Shay?
It is indeed.
How are you? It's good to talk to you.
I'm good. Yes. I just wanted to call in and say hi and thank you so much for the Daily Winnie last Friday.
Well, and we had a lot of good comments on your music. If you didn't listen to last Friday's show, we discovered Shay by accident on Facebook and then discovered that she's this incredible fiddler player and she belongs to a band and they play some great Celtic music and we played one of your songs and people loved it. So I think we're going to have to play more.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
We want to have you back, too, for a special musical episode with you, talk about your horses and your life and play some of your music. Will you do that with us?
Oh, definitely. No, you know what, you guys, I'm way too cool for this show. I only listen to it just every day. That's the worst thing in the world to be on it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, girl, you are amazing. I mean, that fiddle playing is just, you know, I can't even imagine watching you because I think you get dizzy trying to follow your little arm going. It's awesome.
What people don't know is there's actually a tape being played behind me whenever I play live, and, you know, one of those things we speed it up. And
your voice syncing the fiddle?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I'm arm syncing.
No,
that happened to Ashley Simpson, so she got busted, okay? So
yeah,
just be
I'm
careful.
All good as long as it's all just over, you know, the air, as long as you don't see me live, you know, I'm incredible.
You know, you have something to aspire to because some of the best fiddle players we've ever seen have been with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra on their live tour. And of course, they're selling out stadiums all over the world at Christmas time. But the fiddle player takes a huge role there. So there's something there. You need to get that gig.
Oh, for sure. So I need to find their fiddle player at TSO. And I don't know. Do you think Poison would do it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, for sure. Yeah, I think that, and it'll just be coincidence. I'll just be there.
Can we just break his bow or something? We don't have to poison him.
Yeah.
We can break his bow. Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, guys, you have a show tonight? But look, I have a fiddle. I think I can fill in for you guys in this dire crisis. There we go. That is
kick
a
him in the shin.
Brilliant idea right there.
Well, I do enjoy your music, and of course, Jamie knows, and a lot of the listeners know, we did Medieval Feast for a long time, and we owned an acting company that did Medieval Feast for about 10 years. So we had a band that actually had a great fiddle player, and that's where I became partial to Celtic music and to fiddle playing. So I am partial. And then you had red hair, which kind of just fit the whole thing.
Oh, I know. The darn Irish red hair. It comes through every time. You know?
Did you hear
I try to hide it.
She went right
did
into
you hear
that accent.
She did. I mean, that was I got the red hair. Oh my gosh. That was awesome.
Hers is better than yours.
I'm pretty close to Canada, as we call it, up here in Wisconsin. So I get that little bit of the Canadian accent that comes through.
Well, this has been great, Shay. Thank you so much for calling in. I'll be in touch with you here over the next couple of days, and we'll get a time set up to do a special musical episode with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll let you guys get back to, you know, Skyping each other, trying to figure out how you can block me from listening to the show.
Not going to happen.
Bye, Shay.
Yeah, for sure. Bye.
Bye.
That was nice of her to call in.
Like
I had never talked to her before. As I said, we just met her on Facebook and discovered she's a huge fan of all the shows on Friday. And then when she sent me her music, I was like, wow, this is really good. So that's why we wanted to play it. Well, let's do that today.
You want to play a song?
Yeah, let's play a song. Let's do a Dan Roberts. One of my favorite songs of his is Can't Change Horses. Love the tune for this. And you can find all of Dan's music at oldbootsmusic.com. And his song today is sponsored by Pocket Stable. $3.99, people. That's all it is. You're going to have it forever. You're going to use it for all of your horses. You're going to keep track of their farrier visits, of their worming, of their dentist visits. You're going to do that, all of that right on your iPhone. So there's no need. You're just going to have it right there now. I was just thinking the other day, when is our dog due for her next, we put that little thing on to keep we put that stuff on, the frontline stuff to keep the bugs off. And I was going, when did you give that to her? Well, you just look at my Pocket Stable. I put my dog in there. You can do that too. And you find out that next week we have to do that again. I would never have remembered, nor would I have written that down in the calendar, but when you have it in your iPhone, you can also use, like I do, my iPod Touch for that. You can keep track of it right there. You just go to the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. Can't Change Horses with Dan Roberts.
You better look down that road before you get on. Turn around, take one last look behind. Hey, pick up a little dirt, run it through your hands.
then carve your favorite memories in your mind. 'Cause all you've ever dreamed of was riding the rodeo. Before you learn to hold on, you gotta learn to let go. You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
On the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings. I'm with Glenn the Geek, and Coach Jen is producing. And today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha. And everybody is welcome to give us a call today. It's on Monday morning. You know what? It's actually kind of cloudy here in Phoenix. I know that it's raining in Kentucky. They've had a lot of storms. So, you know, you're sitting around. Just go ahead and give us a call at 347-637-3238. You know, I want to know, what did you guys do with your horses over the weekend? Did you even go see Beaker, or did you dedicate your entire weekend, Glenn, to Glory, your dog?
No, actually, yesterday we went out and we worked at the barn yesterday. It was our day to help out at the barn, so we did that in 100 degrees. And I got to see Beaker, actually, for the first time in a couple of weeks. Jennifer's been going out every day, and I was surprised how much he's washed out, color-wise, because of the sun. He was so much lighter because of the sun. Your horses must have the same issue over there.
Well, I got to tell you that I am a bit of a diva when it comes to that because I've got my two horses, my own personal riding horses, are one is Dark Bay and one is a Blood Bay. And then we've got Chad's little old horse, school horses are Palomino, a Paint, and an Appy colored POA. So they don't really change color in the sun. So they're out. But I must say that I bring my boys up, the two bays, right about, noon. And they stay in till dinner time. I just think it's too hot out there, and they get sun bleached, and then they look terrible. So I might be a little bit of a little diva about it. So they come in, and then I leave a couple stalls open, and I turn the misters on, and so they stand in the shade under the misters, and the other horses can all come in and stand under the misters if they want to. But however, do you notice that the horses, even if you provide shade and it's 150 degrees outside and it's a beating sun, they still go lay down in the sun?
Yes, they will. That is correct.
Why is that? You know what? Cows will go to the shade. Cows will go to the shade. Horses lay down. My horses' stalls, half of they're 12 by 24, so they're huge, and half of it is covered, and then half of it is uncovered. And when the horses go to take a nap, they'll go out and lay in the sunny part. Like, are you kidding me? I provide you with this shade. You're stuck in the stall, and you go lay in the sunny part of the whole stall. And it's 110 degrees outside. And I'll have to get them up because they're sweating so bad, and then I'll hose them off. Why do horses do that? Jennifer, do you have any idea? Is there, like, some scientific reason?
I think she's on mute.
Oh, there I am. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was doing behind-the-scenes nonsense. Why they sleep in the sunny part?
Yeah, why do they want to sleep in the sun instead of the shade that we so meticulously and expensively provide?
Well, did they sleep in the shade before you put misters in?
No, they always sleep in the sun, even if they're out in the field. I'm like, come back. Come
fresh
back to the barn.
Fresh sunshine in, I guess, you know.
You know, Beaker's the same way. They have running sheds out there, and Beaker's on turnout board because he hates stalls. So he's on turnout board, and he'll be out in the sunshine. He doesn't care.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But then they get all
the grass. Well, in our case, it's where the grass is. It's not necessarily in your case.
Yeah, see, you don't have that. You don't have grass out in the sunny spot, though. Maybe they're just beach bunnies.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure it out.
We really want to get sun bleached, so Mom won't take us out in public to horse shows. If we get really, really sun bleached, she'll let us stay home all the time.
I was shocked at how sun bleached he was. I really was shocked. Yeah. All right, let's do the weekend roundup.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
I think we have to start the weekend roundup with a couple of rescue stories. And I also wanted to mention that Erin Gilmore, who just called in about her Jack Russell's $2,000 an inch leg, she just posted a picture of the little guy on Facebook. So you can go to our Horses in the Morning page and you'll see him with his cast on. He looks so pathetic. So there's what it looks like post $6,000 operation on a Jack Russell with the shaved butt. All right. The first rescue story I have is from Elbert County, Colorado. And I have a sound file for this, and I think it just pretty much says it all. Let me find it. Here we go.
One Denver, news at 5.
Rescue crews working feverishly for hours this morning to save a horse trapped in a basement. This horse, named Summer, fell through a window well at a home in Sun Country in Elbert County. Fox 31's Tamara Banks just spoke with the horse's owner. She now joins us live with their story. Tamara?
Well, Ron, imagine this, waking up to, as you said, a horse in the basement. What a way to wake up in the morning. The Golter family had just woken up, grabbed their second cup of coffee when they heard whinnying. It actually sounded like screaming. It was actually horses screaming. Summer, an 8-year-old Arabian mix, had gotten carried away by eating weeds and sunflowers by a window well and fell about 4 feet. She apparently tried to get out and fell another 2 or 3 feet down the narrow window well. Glass and wood and blood went everywhere. It was quite a horrific morning for Summer and her owners.
I came out and I'm looking at the gate here and I only see half a horse sticking up. And at first I'm thinking she's rolling around, then I realize I don't see the other half of the horse. So of course I'm thinking, great. Horse is caught in the window well. So it was pretty scary.
Probably that one was the one that went through the window.
The good news is that Summer is okay. She only escaped with scrapes and scratches, which is amazing. For those of us who know horses, you understand that if a horse breaks its leg, it's very difficult for them to heal and repair. So Summer is somewhere down behind me in the pasture just eating grain and casually relaxing while her owners try to catch up on some sleep from this early morning wake-up call. The owners would also really like to thank the Rattlesnake Fire Protection Company, the Elbert County Sheriff's Department, and the vets who came out here and made this all happen and make this a happy ending of a story. Back to you, Ron.
That's right, a happy ending. Tamara, thanks very much.
So what they had to do... This horse was like, you know how those basement window wells sometimes are bigger? And that's what happened, is the horse actually got down in there, apparently got stuck. So they had to chip away around the window. And then the horse ended up in the basement. And there's pictures of the article. I don't have the link here, Jennifer. I apologize for that. But if you just search for horse basement rescue, you'll find it. And there's pictures of the horse in the basement bleeding everywhere because it had some cuts on its leg. And then they had to get a backhoe in and dig out the whole side of the house, make the hole bigger so that the horse could walk back out. That's how they had to get the horse out of the basement. This has to be the first basement rescue story we have had in almost a year.
This is utterly bizarre. And I've got to tell you that one of the houses that we were looking at, I was thinking, all right, we would have a paddock go up the side of the house and lead to the pasture in the front. That would be like a way easy way to get a more grass and all. And then I realized, well, would I have to fence the house out? Now I am. If we get that house, I am putting a fence between that house and where the horses are without it. Flipping doubt. My God. Now, this was actually perfectly timed rescue story, Glenn. Oh, yeah, would I fence that? Or I could save a little money by just ending the fencing at the house and then picking it up back again at the end of that. Nope, getting fenced. I don't care how much it costs. That's funny. There's another rescue story, and I've got to say, I need to know if anybody out there, of course everybody has, seen the movie The Neverending Story. The Neverending Story is a movie, it's a kid's movie, and it came out in the 80s. And there's a part in that movie where Atreyu, the hero, and his horse Artax are galloping through the forest. And Artax comes to what was at that point his demise. And Artax, the scene where Atreyu is trying to pull Artax out of the mud pit, and he's got in by the halter, the bridle, and he's pulling, and he's like, Artax, please, please, come on, please, get out of the mud. You got to try a little hard. And it's like the swamp of despair he's trying to pull him out of. And he's going, Artax, please. And at this point, if you're watching it, you're crying. You're like, come on, Artax, try a little harder. I want you to post this picture, Jennifer, of this horse in the mud pit and tell me if it does not remind you exactly of the Neverending Story when you see it. Oh, my gosh. So this is a story about Elvis. Elvis the horse, who was stuck in a mud bog that went all the way up to his face, his eyeballs. I guess at some point the owner, I don't know if she was riding him and he went down into it. They don't say that. They just are talking about his rescue and how all these firefighters had to come out and they had to don these mud suits and jump down into this mud pit and dig and dig and dig a place enough for this horse to walk out. The only part of this horse that is above the mud is its head. Just like the top half of its head. It is the most amazing photos I've ever seen. And the horse lived. And he was fine. There was nothing wrong with him. So you would think that even though this rescue was taking place, my gosh, there's no way he's going to be okay. He's going to have a broken leg or anything like that. This is amazing. So we're going to post these pictures on Facebook as soon as Jennifer gets a second. And this is – have you seen a rescue like this, Glenn?
No, I haven't seen it. This is like quicksand. You know, it just – this horse went down straight. And the mud quicksand pit isn't even that big. It's barely big enough for a horse.
It's horse size. Yeah, it's tiny. Yeah. It's just, and so what I really want to know begs the question is, how did the horse get there? Was it walking around? Was it, you know, coming through? Is it just galloping down the road?
Where was this? Do you know where this was?
Yeah, it's in Europe, in England, okay. Actually, in Hillstead's farm in Ellerslie, Coventry. Yeah, somewhere. I don't know where Ellerslie, Coventry is.
I didn't know they had
is.
Quicksand in England. Now I learn something every day.
Apparently they do.
It took 10 men to pull them out.
Oh, my gosh. 10 men. It's amazing. So we definitely need to post that up there. And if Jennifer can't get to it, I'll try. It's terrible. But
all right.
Lived.
Yeah. All right. Good. And, you know, speaking of England, they're doing something really cool over there. And at the Carlisle Racecourse next month, they're having the world's first race meet for lady jockeys. All six races. They've done races for lady jockeys before. But all six races on the card on Monday, August 1st, are for female-only professionals, amateurs, and apprentices. So the whole race card will be female jockeys. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome. And when is this and where is it?
It's in England at the Carlisle Racecourse, Monday, August the 1st. So, and it was thought up by the Jockey Club, and it's designed to promote girls' skills to the wider public and raise money for breast cancer research. So they have a good cause, and it's going to get the females a little exposure too. So that's really neat.
Go girls! That's awesome. Hey, do you remember that pony that was busted getting onto the train? And they were walking the pony onto the train, and then he took it to a bar, and then he was letting it graze in a
Ruby. Wasn't it Ruby?
In a graveyard. Yeah, it was Ruby, and they just let him graze in a graveyard, and he was just dragging this pony all around England. Well, Ruby the gray pony has shot was aboard in the train has a new home now, because you know after all of these occurrences, they started calling the animal control and trying to get him, you know, investigated to see if they were taking care of him, because the horse has been kicked out of many places. It's an 11.2 hand Welsh Section A pony, and Jennifer knows what the Section A is, but she was actually in foal, and they were dragging her around everywhere. Well, they found her a new home. Apparently, no cash exchanged hands for the transfer of ownership for Ruby, but Ruby now belongs to a woman. Let's see, what was her name? Miss Michelle Crowther, and she is the chairman of the Northeast Bridleways Association. And Irish traveler Joe Purcell, who is 68 years old, who owned Ruby, lives nearby, so he will be able to visit Ruby when she has her new baby, and apparently she's about to drop her foal anytime.
Well, that's great. Good for Ruby. Finds a new home that they won't be taking her on trains anytime soon.
Yes, because dropping a foal on a train would be a really messy, messy undertaking.
Hey, Katie Livingood said on the Facebook page, but Jamie, Glenn has shown so many fabulous pieces of real estate on the show already. Can't you just pick one? And because you're real estate shopping, as you mentioned earlier, and she said, just don't take Black Diamond Ranch. I'm still saving for that one. So she's got dibs on that one. I found another one for you, Jamie. You said you were shopping, and it's a little far from Arizona, but, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice. Besides, your husband's a pilot. He can just fly up, go to work every day. So it's a 1,750-acre Wyoming ranch that now has the highest price tag on the realtor list. On Realtor.com. So let me tell you about it first, and then you can see if you know how much this is. Okay, so
wait,
it's in Jackson Hole.
This is the hold on. This is the highest price on Realtor.com. The highest price.
Yeah, right now, yes, because because the house that was the highest had just sold not too long ago to a friend of Paris Hilton. So this
of
is
course.
A casino resort and developer, Richard Fields. Is 1,750-acre ranch. It has 450-acre equestrian center and 52 stalls, an indoor riding arena, plus 1,300-acre ranch that he bought. So this is like multiple ranches that have been combined into one. It has a house and all that stuff. So it has other stuff on it and a lot of fencing and beautiful scenery because Jackson Hole, Wyoming, is probably the prettiest place on earth. So
that's where it is, Jackson, Wyoming.
Yes.
My favorite city in the entire world is Jackson, Wyoming.
Now I just need you to go to the bank again because you're going to need to go back to get your letter, your pre-approval letter redone.
Okay. Okay.
And could you tell them that you would need $175 million?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
$175 million.
What is the house payment on a $175 million ranch? Let me see. I'm going to do the math here. Let me find my calculator online.
I don't think my calculator, I can put that many zeros in. If it doesn't, I can only go up to $17
million. $175 million. Okay. And then what is divided by?
360. That'd be let's say a 30-year mortgage.
It didn't let me do all those numbers either.
It's a lot of money. And, oh, by the way, but I love this statement. The ranch called Jackson Land and Cattle is a valley property with 35 buildable sites. But at the end, it says, the hope is that the buyer will be conservation-minded and not divided up.
You're right.
So, yeah. 175 million, you'd need 35 buildable sites.
For $175 million, I'm doing whatever the hell I want with it. I'm running around naked on the outskirts of the property all the time doing cartwheels, and they'd be like, oh, there goes that crazy girl running around naked on her ranch again. Yep, that's me. That's what I would do. Yeah, you couldn't tell me what to do with my place for $175 million. Awesome. Hey, I guess the probably one of the last stories that we can do is, this is really exciting, actually. You know, they had Rebecca Farm had their big horse trials. They do it once a year. And speaking of beauty, this is up in Montana, and it is a phenomenal place up in Montana. And they do one horse trials every year. And this is a 3-day event. They do a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, all the way up, you know, preliminary training level. They do just this huge, huge, huge event. And the highest they did was the 3-star. And just to let you know, I wanted to give you the results of the 3-star. Holly Bennett with Gin and Juice came in first place. Buck Davison got second with Ballyno Castle. Alexandra Slusher and Last Call got third. Jolie Wentworth and Goodnight got fourth. And guess who came in number 5? The 5th spot, Barb Cravo and Ever Ready 2. By the way, that is my coach and instructor, and I'm so excited for her.
Oh, yeah, that's terrific.
It was awesome. And the sad part of this whole thing is Allison Springer, who we talked to not too long ago, and Arthur. Remember, isn't that the Arthur that she was saying she'd give us a dressage lesson on?
Yeah.
Allison Springer.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. Allison Springer and Arthur, Kate, if you can do a dressage lesson on this horse, remember she was going to auction it off for charity for the Red Cross. If you can do that, do it, because he was actually over 10 points ahead of everybody after dressage and after cross country, and they were a shoo-in to win. They took down 7 show jumping rails to go all the way from first to 11.
I mean, that's a lot. I've seen 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. I don't think I've seen 7 in a long time. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, well, here's what happened is they had on the course, the show jumping course, and they had it on cross country too. They had a statue of a horse made out of horseshoes.
Oh, I saw the picture of that on Eventing Nation. Yeah.
We need to post that because that is the one thing that every horse spooked at, and apparently Arthur just could not get past it. I guess he's kind of known for being spooky anyway, but he could not handle that statue. And I guess it was on the cross-country course Saturday, and the person that was winning a couple of different events actually almost fell off at that whole area. So poor thing, poor Allison and Arthur, but congratulations to Holly Bennett and Gin and Juice. And Barb Cravo coming in number 5. So excited. So she's got the long journey home back to Arizona now. But
well,
yay!
Does she have her eye on Rolex next year now that she's came in 5th at a 3-star?
Yes. She said, you guys better go to Rolex and you better broadcast from there because I'm going. And, of course, she always... always follows it up with, if my horse is sound. Because you cannot tell God your plans or he'll laugh at you, right?
That's
so
true.
If my horse is sound, I am going. So, yeah, they competed at Rolex in, I think, 2009. So it'll be fantastic to go down there and be able to cheer somebody you actually ride with on. And somebody from a small little place like Phoenix, Arizona, not known for its fantastic eventing. Definitely.
Well, that's terrific. Congratulations. That's fun. You know, we're running out of time here today, but I wanted to give a quick update on our question of the day. Let me just go. There's a lot of comments on there now. Let me just go down through some of them here. How about $4,000 for a knee replacement for a dog? I didn't know that they did knee replacements for dogs, but I guess they do. And let's see here. We have $5,000. For a Great Dane when she got undiagnosed for Addison's disease, and ended up at MSU for 4 days. $5,000. How about $5,000? Susan, what's wrong with you? $5,000 for her Persian cat with a kidney failure and tube feeding, and the cat still died and was miserable in the meantime. We'll never do that to an animal again. So, you know, we have all fallen into that, though, where we think, you know, we can save them, and then, you know, that happens in the end. So can't falter for that. And here is one, 10 grand from Faye Windsor. Ah, it's a long one. I have to read exactly what happened, but 10 grand.
Oh, my gosh. It was canine influenza. They adopted a dog from a dirty shelter, and then it gave canine influenza to all our other dogs. So she had them in an oxygen tent and in critical care for over a week, and they all survived. She said, fortunately, she had pet insurance for all but the new dog. I'd have been like, shoot the new one. I'll take care of the rest.
That'd be your luck. You would adopt it and it would have to, one day later, end up in the hospital for 5 days and $10,000 bill. That'd be just your luck.
I'm kind of... You know, let me let you know how the expense goes with the canine dermatologist that I'll be visiting this week. Are you kidding me? They have those. They have canine dermatologists.
That's the amazing part. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate those that called in and joined us. We'll have, I think tomorrow, if I remember correctly, Jennifer is... Jennifer has something really cool set up for tomorrow. What was that place again, Jennifer? I can't even say the name.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu?
We're going to talk about riding in Machu Picchu.
Which I think is somewhere on the moon. I'm not sure. It's somewhere up there.
Well, you know, when you see pictures of it and you don't have any idea of what the pictures are, there's no title on there, you might think it's another planet because it's pretty cool.
All right, so we're going to talk about Machu Picchu, and that I think she just did that, Jamie, so we could have fun saying that name all day tomorrow.
Machu Picchu.
That's about it, everybody. You can find all of our other shows at horseradionetwork.com. Don't forget you can follow us on iTunes. That's probably the easiest way, if you can't catch us live, is just to download us automatically every day on iTunes. There's an iTunes link right at horsesinthemorning.com on the left. Or just search for us on iTunes and we'll pop up.
Everybody remember, please spay, neuter, and geld and take your own dog to a doggy dermatologist. Have a great day. Say goodbye, Glenn.
And wear your helmet, too.